remember when, you know, gas prices were lower and eggs weren't, you know, $10 a dozen and things weren't on fire everywhere and things didn't suck so hard. And
we weren't entering World War III. Mm-hmm. It was great, right?
Yeah.
Things were great.
Was. Yeah.
God, it was such good times.
China and Russia together over the next couple of years, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. This is not good. Hello, greetings and salutations, everybody. Greetings.
Good morning.
Have not subscribed to this very podcast already, what are you doing? What are you doing with your, have you put us in your pocket?
Right,
you need to put us, both of us.
Right,
Here in your, just put us right in your pocket. We'll be in there all cozy and you can listen to us later if you need to do that. But you should subscribe to this podcast. You should do that if you haven't already done that. You should do it. Okay, do it today. Do it today.
Do it right now.
Do it today. Do it.
I mean, okay. You can multitask. Like if you're watching right now, but right. You're like, I haven't actually subscribed.
Right. I can have some coffee. I can subscribe to this podcast. Maybe tell a friend about it. Tell a liberal friend about it. Convert them.
Do your part. I'm in a very frustrated mood this morning.
She is
trying to laugh it off. I'm so mad at so many different things. And one of the things is that there's a bird. There's like a family of birds that live in my attic right now.
They're your pet birds.
They're my birds now. And so every morning, at like right before we go on, they start chirping super, super loud. You may have heard them before. And so we have to let them out. Like they're chirping at us. To let them out so they can go about their day and then come back and like hide out in our attic and shit all over my car. I'm so mad at them. I'm so frustrated at these stupid birds.
Should name them. We should name them in the comments. I think that the daddy bird should be named Carl. Carl is his name. Continue.
Just so irritated.
You guys come up with some names.
Autumn, thank you. Autumn says, mock joke for you on this lovely Thursday morning. A man in a trench coat approached three old ladies on a park bench and flashed them. Two had strokes. The third one couldn't reach.
That was a good Thursday one. I like it. Good goes. Awesome. And she gave us money. I mean, seriously?
Seriously? God. I really needed that because I am super mad at a lot of things this morning.
Our cup runneth over. Thank you, Autumn. Hey, listen, really quick, another point of personal privilege before we get going on all the horrific news of the day. Because it is horrific today, you guys. It's bad. It's a shit show. Settle in. I have a couple of gifts. So at the very end, we didn't do this during pre-show because we were talking about other things during pre-show, like things that have nothing to do with the show, which is normally what we do. So I need to do a couple of gifts at the very end, just a couple little ones. I got some great stuff from people and I wanted to thank people for that because I'm always late. So,
okay, don't forget because that's the problem is like we'll be all determined to do it and then we'll forget.
You guys remind us how to do our show at the very end and I'll do that.
Right.
Thanks.
One of the things that I'm super mad at this morning is that there's a headline at the top of Daily Mail right now about a 24-year-old journalist, a guy that was just starting out his career in journalism in Florida. He was shot by this 19-year-old complete a-hole who's smirking about it. That same a-hole shot a mother and her 9-year-old. The journalist is dead and he leaves behind a fiance, obviously his immediate family. It's just awful, right? So I see this and I go to read the article and I'm immediately struck by the fact that the shooter, this criminal, has a lengthy rap sheet, including assault with a deadly weapon, including burglary, including a whole list of stuff. And he's only 19. Okay. And I go and I listen to the 10 and a half minute long clip of the news conference that the chief of police held about this incident. At no time did any reporter ask, why was this guy on the street? At no time was that question asked, and at no time was it addressed. At no time did the chief of police say, I mean, he was happy to say, yeah, this criminal 19-year-old, he's got a rap sheet a mile long. Then why the hell was he out? Why was he running free? I will never understand this. And I'm upside down about it. I cannot take it.
I'm upset. Somebody just said that, okay, because he shot a woman and her 9-year-old daughter too. Somebody said that the 9-year-old is dead as well.
Oh my God.
And if you see this kid's face, the smugness, the complete lack of no regard.
This actually this actually makes me feel a little bit better because I was so upset that he was out. And I thought, how can this be happening in Florida where DeSantis has been so tough on crime? And so Luke is saying he was let out of jail by the DA that DeSantis threw out.
One of the Soros guys. It was the Soros guy, right?
God.
Am I wrong about that? He was a Soros guy. And he threw him out of office. Yeah. But the complete disregard for life, you could just see it on this kid's face.
Oh my, the smirk. That's the other thing that has me in an absolute rage this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just,
somebody's saying he killed four people. I saw two this morning, but he may have killed more before that I'm just unaware of. I don't know. You're right. Where is the protest? Where is the protest?
It's just the most infuriating thing. And the fact that not a single journalist asked that question and that's not a focal point. And so what? They're going to arrest him again. Are they going to let him out on bail? Is that what's going to happen in Florida? That better not happen in freaking Florida.
Right.
Because I cannot deal.
Put him away. Never let him out.
Seriously, how many more crimes does he have to commit before people realize he is a career criminal who needs to be locked up for life? I mean, now, hopefully, with murders on his rap sheet, he will be put away from... Do they have the death penalty in Florida? Seriously, just off this guy.
Right, I know. It'd be great, wouldn't it? It would just be... I'm so over this crap.
Oh my God, I'm so freaking mad. All right, but I'm going to try to switch off my anger because we are talking about rough greens right now, and rough greens are awesome. We have an email to share. So this comes from Mike Sassman, and Mike Sassman sent us an email yesterday that says, Mock and Daisy, we've been giving rough greens to our senior Westie pup named Elfa. Elfaba from Wicked. Am I saying that right? Elfaba?
Elfaba?
I didn't see Wicked.
It's a tiny little Westie.
They call her Elfie for short. She was having issues shedding a ton and had really bad breath. I'm happy to report that her breath is 100% better after like one or two feedings.
Wow.
And I know. And the shedding is almost gone after just a couple of weeks. She also used to eat only 2/3 of her food, and now she licks the bowl clean. Our pup now has a ton of energy, so we have recommended it to the rest of the family. You should have seen the look on my mother-in-law's face when I told her to go to roughchicks.com. She thought it was a dirty site.
We got to keep people on their toes, man.
Oh my
God. This is what we do.
I love that. He says, anyway, thanks for telling us about this great product and keep up the great work on the show. That's from Mike Sassman. I just freaking love that.
Thank you, Mike.
And it's true. Rough Greens helps with bad breath. It helps with the coats, keeps their coats shiny. It helps with energy levels, helps their joints, helps them move. It helps everything because it's a supplement for your dogs. It's how to keep them healthy. It's maintenance program for your dogs to live their longest and best lives.
Like and oil changes. Like little oil changes.
Little
for your
oil
dog.
Changes for your dogs. And you can get a free jumpstart trial bag of Rough Greens. Check it out. See if your dogs love it. They probably will.
It's a great size too. It's a really good size. Yeah. The trial size. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a great size. Mm-hmm. And you can get that for free. You only have to cover shipping by going to roughchicks.com. That's RUFFchicks.com. And I'm also mad. I was telling Daisy this before we started that there's this 85-year-old woman in Florida who just got eaten by an alligator because there's video, you guys. And I haven't seen the video of her getting eaten.
It.
I don't want to see
just
that.
Just don't go look for it.
But I did see the little piece of the clip where it shows her walking her snack-sized dog literally right next to the shoreline of a pond, a retention pond in her backyard. And I'm like, that's where alligators live, is in ponds in Florida. What are you doing?
I wouldn't walk Cash or Astrid, my Great Danes, next to a pond. First of all, I wouldn't live there because I don't like alligators. And I know that they live there. I wouldn't. And if I did, I'd walk out there with my AR-15 every day. And I'd just be waiting for gators because this is the thing. Mock's going to be moving to South Carolina and I'm like terrified that she's going to like come into contact.
No, because I know how to deal with, I don't go to the pond. I would never take a snack sized dog close to a pond line. You don't do that. What are you doing? And then this woman, the alligator grabbed her dog. She freaks out and she goes to try to rescue the dog. And then the alligator's like, ooh, you look even tastier.
You're bigger.
Eats the woman. The dog is fine.
Well, this is the thing. Listen, and I said to her before, I was like, you know what? She probably didn't grow up there, or she just moved there and she's unaware that,
That's not even possible. That's not possible to be unaware. There's no way. You can't exist in Florida without seeing signs warning you of not Girl, getting close to ponds. They're everywhere. And especially, like, it's one thing to walk as a human next to a shoreline. I mean, that's bad enough, right? You just don't want to do that. But to have a snack, that's literally what an alligator is looking for is snack-sized dogs.
Yeah. They're looking for dogs. Not even snack size. They're looking for your labs too. They're looking for animals to eat. This is the thing.
Oh my gosh.
I hate gators. I hate them.
Exactly. Leanne is like, how are you unaware of alligators in Florida? You're not. And that's the thing. That's why I'm just like so angry at her. I'm angry at her for being dead because
they're in Georgia. I grew up in Georgia. They're in Georgia too. Like, you go to a golf course in Georgia, they chase you on a golf course. Georgia. They're out of control, you guys. I hate gators. That's why I live in Texas. I live in the middle, like right here in Texas. There are no gators around me. There are no gators. Seriously.
Actually in Texas. They just aren't.
They're not near me. I don't live near water. I don't live near a body of water. And the worst we have is rattlesnakes. I have a snake gun. It's fine.
Oh my God. I just don't like any of these creatures, but you know what? You learn to coexist.
Right.
And you know how to take care of yourself. That's why I'm so angry at that woman.
Is there a gator gun? What is that? Is that a cannon? Is that a cannon? Is that what you use?
Cannon.
What do you use?
I don't, to kill I don't a gator? Know.
Is it just a giant know. Car? You just run them over with your car. Is that what you do? Cause that's what I would probably do.
Oh my God. All right. So anyway, those are some of the reasons that I'm angry this morning.
So angry.
But we're going to keep this fun. We're going to keep this happy, you guys. And yesterday was a big day for Donald Trump. Yesterday, Trump visited East Palestine. He bought McDonald's for all the firefighters. He handed out bottles of Trump water to everybody. People, of course, there in that area, huge red area, they were delighted. They were overjoyed to see him. Hugely warm welcome. And it was one of those moments that you watch him and you're just like, man, remember how good things were before COVID when he was president? His first 2 years were so awesome.
Yeah. And then people start reminiscing about, like, remember when, you know, gas prices were lower and eggs weren't, you know, $10 a dozen and things weren't on fire everywhere and things didn't suck so hard. And
we weren't entering World War III. Mm-hmm. It was great, right?
Yeah,
things were great.
Yeah.
God, it was such good times.
Right?
So I've got a little clip of him just shaking hands with folks and there's people screaming questions at him and somebody asks what message he has for Biden about East Palestine, and here's what he said.
So thank you for your service.
What's your message to Joe Biden before you leave?
Thank you. Get over here.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, guys.
It's a great message. I mean, it's a really great message. Yeah, he's just really busy giving our money to another country.
Very, very busy.
And,
very,
and very making busy. Sure that we pay the pensions of Ukrainian people because we got to pay their pensions.
It's high priority, you guys. Mm-hmm. Got to pay those Ukrainian pensions.
Right. I'm sure the Ohio people are really, really happy about that.
Uh-huh. So Biden obviously spent time in Ukraine. He spent time in Poland. And then on his way back to the United States, this happened. I mean, he's holding the rail, you guys.
Oh, my God. It's not the first time. This is not the first time that this has happened. And then he gets to the top. He's like, okay. It's okay, everybody. I don't know where I am, but I'm okay. I know it was a Bernie voice, but it's like it's starting to kind of just like mesh together. This is the thing. You know, this is like the first time. This is not the first time it's happened. And you know that if it was Trump, just imagine if that were Trump. It would be.
Well, they still try to use that. Remember when Trump went down that one ramp?
It was icy or something.
Really gingerly. Like, yeah, because it's covered with ice.
Right.
He gingerly walked down it as any normal human would.
Uh-huh.
And they still are trying to act like, oh my God, he was like basically at death's door.
Yeah, test
when
him.
He went down that ramp.
Do neurological tests on him. Something's wrong with him. Dude.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then it's like with this guy, he falls every day to some stupid crap every single day. He's like touching people's biceps and sniffing people. And they're just like, no, it's fine. It's totally fine.
It's fine.
Everything's fine in this year. It's fine.
He's completely fit to carry out the duties of the presidency. Biden also took a question from that Muir. How do you say that guy's name from ABC? It's like, it's M-U-I-R.
Muir?
Muir?
Muir. I would change it.
So
I just change it.
Things are escalating, as you know, in this whole Russian-Ukrainian war. And one of the most recent escalations is that Putin has decided that Russia is pulling out of a treaty that they have with the United States that says, hey, we're not going to have this arms race, this nuclear arms race. Okay, we're going to limit, we're going to cap, we're not going to continue to escalate this because nobody wants nuclear war. Putin has now pulled out of that, which is a huge, big, fat deal. It's one more huge black eye, massive failure for this administration. And so here's Biden's reaction to the question about, hey, what do you think about Putin doing this? It's kind of a big deal. Listen to him try to blow this freaking off.
Watched your speech here in Warsaw. And as you know, just hours before, Vladimir Putin gave his own speech. And I wanted to ask you about something Vladimir Putin said. He said that Russia is suspending participation, cooperation in the nuclear treaty with the United States. What's your message to Putin on that?
It's a big mistake to do that. Not very responsible. But I don't read into that that he's thinking of using nuclear weapons or anything like that. I think it's I'm not sure what else he was able to say in his speech at the moment. But I think it's a mistake, and I'm confident we'll be able to work it out.
He is saying he's going to suspend participation in this nuclear treaty. Rhetoric is one thing, but we're a year into this war now. Does it concern you when he says something like this, and are we less safe?
Well, look, I think we're less safe when we walk away from arms control agreements that are very much in both parties' interest and the world's interest. But I've not seen anything, we've not seen anything that where there's a change in his posture, what they're doing, the idea that somehow this means they're thinking of using nuclear weapons, international continental ballistic missiles. There's no evidence of that.
What more evidence do you need, you absolute idiot?
He is a complete and total moron, you guys.
Complete and total moron.
He does look like the Jeff Dunham character. He does. He looks like a puppet. That's what it is. I was like, what does he look like? That's exactly what it is. Oh my God. And his face. And it's like, he's touching
and his
him.
Voice. Yeah.
He's and the touching him and he's like, and he's not really paying attention. And he's just like,
God,
we have so many more months of this. I can't.
Thank you, Tanya. Thank you very much
and
for that.
I don't know what else it would. Thank you. I don't know what else it would mean other than like he's like, listen, Putin's like, you know, now I have the ability to use nuclear weapons. Yay!
And I'm going to keep increasing our supply and arsenal. I'm going to build it up and I'm going to be super threatening. And I mean, it's an escalation.
Right.
And everybody's just like, nobody's really talking about it.
And not only
other than that interview, nobody's really like making this a big deal. I think this is a huge deal. It's a massive failure.
Especially when you add to the fact that China is their BFF.
Yeah.
And China, I know Biden doesn't want to like be mean to China because I think it's because of all the family business dealings and whatnot. But it's like China and Russia together over the next couple of years, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. This is not good. And of course, the liberal media is not going to say anything about this. They're not going to do anything. They're just going to be like, oh, let's just gingerly ask this old dementia ridden man what he thinks about this. It's a huge deal.
You didn't see Adam, that Muir guy going, isn't this evidence? Isn't this actual evidence that he is intending to escalate this? There's never any pushback. I don't know if they're like scared that he's going to topple over and they just don't want to rock the boat or what, but it's out of control. Mm-hmm. Okay, before I get into a furious rage, we have very, very exciting news, you and I, to share today. Very, very exciting news about a new sponsor. And I just want to preface this, you guys, by saying we were big, fat skeptics about this product.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you know anything about me and Daisy, you know that we are not chefs. We are not domestic. We are not people that know our way around a kitchen.
Have a kitchen because it came with my house.
Right. It's like one of those things that just comes in your house. Mm-hmm. But I know enough about cooking and I cook enough to know that if you don't have olive oil on hand, I mean, you can't really cook anything. Like olive oil, you use it for almost everything. Anytime you turn on your stove, you're using olive oil for something. But I just thought like olive oil is olive oil and you just grab the olive oil that is off your grocery shelf and you're good to go. I didn't realize. And honestly, when we went to have this call with the company that sells fresh pressed olive oil, I had no idea that there was a difference between oils, that there were some that like taste different than others. We learned so much this taste test that we did that now I got off the phone and I was like, oh my God, this is my new favorite thing. And so we did a taste test with oils from fresh pressed olive oil. And you guys, it is like nothing. I don't even know how to describe to you the difference. Now we're using it on absolutely everything. You can drizzle it on vegetables. You can use it in place of any olive oil that you just get off of supermarket chef for cooking. And by the way, the supermarket, store, like the supermarket olive oil, sometimes that stuff has been on the shelf for years. And we learned that this is a fruit juice. Olives are fruits. This is a fruit juice that goes bad pretty quickly.
And it has a lot of antioxidants in it and polyphenols and things like that that are super good for you. And so the fresh stuff is way better. And so, and I don't really even cook. I don't cook with it. I'll put it on like salads and stuff like that. I put it on just fresh vegetables, which I like. I like it like that. I don't like to even really cook with it that much. She probably cooks with it more than I do because I don't cook. So anyways, it's fantastic. It tastes amazing.
Oh my gosh. It was unbelievable. And we learned like how to taste it, how to smell it right. And the difference is, I mean, it's just night and day. And so we're very, very excited because we got you guys the best deal ever. So you can get a free full-size bottle of this olive oil that is, it's beyond anything that you've ever had before. All you pay is $1 for shipping. And so I'm telling you, your minds are going to be blown. You're going to be just like we were. Like we were like, oh, how different can it be? Right? Like
yeah, it is really different. Yeah.
It's so different. And all you have to do is go to chicksloveoliveoil.com, $1 for shipping, and you get a full size bottle of their amazing olive oil. It is going to change your life. Just telling you right now.
Really good.
I didn't believe it until I tried it, and just try it. Yeah. Okay. Chicksloveoliveoil.com.
.com.
All right. So you, by now, probably everybody has seen at least a picture, if not a video, of the crazy chick that is the Georgia grand or the Georgia foreman of the grand jury that was investigating Donald Trump and the whole Georgia election thing. This, you guys, if you have not seen her, oh my God, you are in for a treat. So this is the foreman. In other words, this is the lead of this grand jury. She's the smartest of the bunch. Okay. Right. Like they're
presumably the smartest of the bunch. Right.
Oh my God. So she, for reasons I cannot begin to fathom, she has gone on a news talk tour to talk about this case, which is now, you know, it's now in a different grand jury where they're going to decide Trump's guilt or not guilt or whatever. And so now she is going out before this is all over. She's going out to talk about this. And it's completely freaking like people on The View out. Everybody's freaking out about it because she's ruining the prosecution's
case. It's fantastic. It's so
hilarious.
Fantastic. All of it is a gift to Donald Trump. This chick is like a Wiccan. She's like, I'm assuming she's a millennial. She's a complete and total idiot. It's fantastic. It's a thing of joy to watch. It's so fantastic.
I love it. It's like, did Donald Trump pay her to do this? Like, what is even happening?
It's the most fantastic thing. It's so great.
It's incredible. So I've put together a little montage of some of her best moments because it defies, like, you just cannot believe that someone is this dumb. And you, to me, my first question when I saw these was, does no one love her? Is there no one in her life that said, you shouldn't do this?
She's a little unlovable. Have you seen her? I mean, when you look at her, you're like, she's a little unlovable.
She's just so unfortunate.
It's not that. It's just she's just kind of annoying.
No, she's unfortunate. Like, I have no problem saying she needs help. Like, girl, the Wiccan, needs a makeover.
And the Wiccan thing, that's what I stay far away. I'm just like, I don't want any part of that. So
and
bye.
She makes these demonic faces. Mm-hmm. Like, she's absolutely insane. So you're going to see three clips. One where she's talking about why she wanted to subpoena Trump. The second one, she's talking about the number of indictments that are forthcoming. And then in the third, she's saying what her reaction will be if there are no charges at all. Oh, here goodness. It is.
Did you personally want to hear from the former president?
I wanted to hear from the former president, but honestly, I kind of wanted to subpoena the former president because I got to swear everybody in. And so I thought it'd be really cool to get 60 seconds with President Trump of me looking at him and being like, do you solemnly swear? And me getting to swear him in. I kind of thought that would be an awesome moment. I can see how trying to get the former president to come talk to us would have been a year in negotiation by itself.
So it sounds like that was ultimately a battle that you all decided not to wage.
Exactly. That's kind of how it ended up, was that. And I'd be fascinated by what he said, but do you think he would have come in and said anything groundbreaking, or just the same kind of thing we've heard? So at some point, you don't need to hear 50 people say the same thing. Mm. You know what I mean? At some point, you kind of start to get the gist.
Sure. That sounds like it might mean.
Is it, would you say, when it comes to, there are indictments recommended, of course. Is it more than, not a short list, more, I mean, when it comes to 75 witnesses, like, it's not, I assume, of course, it's not 75 people. Would you characterize it as 20-ish people?
I can't say I counted.
Okay. More than a dozen, though, I think I'd heard you say in another interview.
I believe so. That's probably a good assumption.
The name that everyone wants to know about is former President Trump.
Of course.
Did you recommend charges against Donald Trump?
I really don't want to share something that the judge made a conscious decision not to share.
After everything that you've seen, what would your reaction be if the DA decides against bringing any charges after what you've seen?
I will be sad if nothing happens. Like, that's about my only request there is for something to happen. I don't necessarily know what it is. I'm not the legal expert. I'm not the judge. I'm not the lawyers. But I will be frustrated if nothing happens. This was too much information, too much of my time, too much of everyone's time, too much of their time, too much argument in court about getting people to appear before us. There was just too much for this to just be, oh, okay, we're good, bye.
And if it was just a perjury charge, or perjury charges, would that be acceptable to you?
That's fine. I will be happy as long as something happens.
You know, Emily, the political environment has become more dangerous.
What in the world?
How old do you think she is? How old do you think
she
this chick is?
More than like 22? I don't know.
She looks so, I mean, she looks like she's 12 to me, and she just looks so juvenile, you know? And then she's the head of the foreman of a grand jury, this chick. And it's also, listen, her behavior and just her demeanor is a testament to the way that kids have been raised in this society. Like, this, no offense against any millennials out there. I mean, I really try not to offend, because I have two millennials. I have them. I've raised two millennials. I've helped to raise two millennials. It's not that I don't love millennials, but wow. Like, not seriously. Like, if I were a millennial, I'd be like, that chick does not represent me. Like seriously, that's bad. Cause I'm assuming she is a millennial, right? I mean, she's gotta be in her 20s. She has to be on a grand jury.
She's probably Gen Z-er. I mean, I don't think she's even old enough to be a millennial.
Really?
I mean, she's so young.
How does she get on a grand? How does she become the foreman of a grand jury?
I think at 18 and up, man, you start getting you can start getting, are the thingies? The, not subpoenas, but what are they?
The
jury, like, you can get called up.
I just can't even imagine. Like, this is,
she's 30? Somebody's saying she's 30?
I believe she's 30 is what Paula's saying.
Way.
And then some people are saying that she's Gen Z. We have to find out how old this chick is.
Well, no, people looked it up. She's 30.
The summons for jury is what you're thinking.
Summons.
Of.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yeah. She's 30. So she can absolutely, she's old enough to do all the things.
This is the thing. Like, if she just seems so, misguided and poorly educated and just very juvenile, just so juvenile for some, depending on what her age is. If she is a high 20s, you know, chick, wow.
And that means the other members of that jury said, we think she should be the leader of this group.
Right.
And that so, is just like,
what does that say about them? What does it say about them and what their level of intelligence is? Wow, you guys, what is happening in our society? Like, it's, as if today wasn't depressing enough.
I know. And I don't even know, like, who is responsible for reeling this in? Is it a judge? Like, is she going to be in trouble with the judge? I don't know. But she's clearly doing something that is so unprecedented and stupid that even like all the liberal, well, of course, all the liberal media folks are just losing their minds. I saw Anderson Cooper freaking out about this. Here is a clip of Joy Behar.
I love it, you know, so great, I love it, guys.
When they're mad. Here it is.
Fantastic.
There are no major plot twists.
Shouldn't she be keeping her big bazoo shut, this girl? I mean, why is she going around talking? She wants attention. You know, everybody is a Kardashian now. Everybody wants attention.
Yeah.
And that's what this is about, I think. But I think that she could destroy this case.
I will say, I was thoroughly enjoying the interviews, you know, like everyone else. I was giggling and cracking up and stuff. But then when I put my federal prosecutor hat on, yeah, I was like, oh no, she's compromising the integrity of the investigation. Right. Because the grand jury, and any grand jury investigation, especially the federal ones, are secret proceedings. Yeah. And they're supposed to be secret proceedings. Like, you could get fired as a prosecutor for leaving a deposition out in your office, mm-hmm, or taking it home and not putting it back in the locked chamber. Like, it's so serious because people die. Witnesses have died when their testimony is released. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that she's like giggling and joking, I'm surprised. I know that the judge gave them guidelines and said, like, don't name names. But if you're like, it's about 60 something people, we heard Trump's name a lot. I mean, you know what's happening. And it's just, I think she looked a little
excitable,
you know,
thrilled.
People are going to say unhinged. People are going to say,
she just looks like she was so excited to be here.
She's acting like a child, but she's 30 years old. Somebody should have stopped.
Yeah, it's attacking the credibility of the investigation.
30 years old. 30 freaking years old. Holy cow. Oh my God. These women are salivating over, you know, the prospect of putting Trump in jail. All these liberals have been salivating over that for years. That's all they've ever wanted. And they just, every time they think they're going to be able to do it, they can't do it. They can't do it.
And it's usually because of their own mistake, their own screw ups, clearly, yeah, as this case is
either
proving.
That or it's because they got nothing.
Right.
It's like, right, you're going to keep, it's not going to happen. He's not going to jail. Give it up, you crazy liberals with TDS. Ain't going to happen. Like, just stop it. Stop hating the guy. Quit it. You know what
I mean?
It's
out of control.
It is out of control.
And so I was interested to hear what premier lawyer, constitutional lawyer Alan Dershowitz was going to say about this. And so I saved that clip for everybody. Here's how he's weighing in.
Case professor, that under no circumstances should this grand jury and their conclusions hold.
Of course not. And they have no weight at all. The prosecutor has to make the decision. And when he does, he should listen to that phone call in which the president said, find, not invent, find votes. Finds means find something that's lost, something that's there. And there's no basis whatsoever for indicting somebody for saying that they should find votes that haven't yet been tabulated. That's the big issue. And we wonder whether the grand jury heard that interpretation. After all, grand juries by their nature are kangaroo courts. No cross-examination, no confrontation, no ability to have a defense attorney there. And then on top of that, leaking the material to try to bias the jury pool. This whole proceeding should be thrown out completely, and the whole matter should be put back to square one. There should be no indictments. If there were perjury, okay, that the prosecutor has to investigate. But these recommendations by these rogue grand juries who have no real responsibility and have a foreperson like that should be ignored. And the media, when they covered this interview, should have put it in context, should have explained how meaningless this is. But instead, get Trump. That becomes the major mantra at all costs. This is part of the whole get Trump without regard to due process phenomenon.
She was right.
My favorite is how CNN, just to back up, my favorite is how CNN booked this broad. They book her. They put her on. And then I think it was like Anderson Cooper. I think he's on CNN. Anderson Cooper is like clutching his pearls over the fact that she was on spewing all this garbage. It's yeah. like, y'all booked her. I mean, from a media perspective, this is the thing. They're the ones like MSNBC and CNN. They're booking this chick. They're a producer. We've been on the back end of the step. You have to go through the process of booking this yeah. chick and then putting her on and like having somebody interview her. I mean, did you not vet her? Did you not talk to her? Did the producers not like find out what a complete nincompoop this chick is? I mean, this is the thing. I just find that so amusing. Like, I think it's so funny. Like, as you always say, they stepped on their own schlong. They yeah. did it. They did this to themselves. And I find it so hilarious. I love every bit of this. It's the greatest. This is the greatest story of the day. It's the greatest. They did it to themselves.
It is a pretty good story.
Yeah.
I will admit that is some happiness in this otherwise doom-filled news cycle.
It's true. It's great.
Speaking of doom-filled news cycles, Kamala Harris. She, oh my gosh. I don't even know how to preface this except to say that she wants you all to believe that when you get your energy bill in the mail and you look at the astronomically high number, that you look at that and think, thank you, Joe Biden and Kamala, for lowering my energy costs. I don't know what planet she is currently on, but this is what she said out loud.
Every day, Joe Biden and I talk about and work together with our partners, like former leader Hoyer, current leader Hoyer, to lower the cost for the people of our nation, because you are a leader. For working families, we have reduced heating and electricity bills. So folks have more money in their pocket to buy things like school supplies, replace the dishwasher, or take a family vacation.
Really?
What
working families? Where are they? Please stand up.
Yes, please stand up if your energy prices are lower under Biden than they were before Biden.
Oh my God.
Stand up and explain yourself at once.
Yeah, who are these people that you speak of, Kamala? I don't know who these... I'm sorry. Are you guys out there? Have your energy bills been lower?
It's remarkable. And here's what they're doing. They're trying to say they can say he has lowered them since they were at their highest under him, but they don't ever say that, right? They're just saying he's lowered them for Americans as if we were all suffering from high energy costs yeah. before he stepped in the
And we can oval. All go on vacation.
Woo! What in the world? And what kills me is that they say these things and think that. Well, I guess there are people dumb enough out there to
yeah,
be like,
there are.
Oh, you guys lowered my energy bills. Thank you. I hadn't noticed.
Or they
rationalize.
Thank you
for saying that because otherwise I wouldn't have known.
Right. Or they rationalize because they voted for these idiots and they want so badly to not feel bad about the fact that they've ruined it for the rest of us. I mean, think of all the silent people yeah. in your social media feeds that voted for these jackholes and they're just quiet now. You know what I mean? Think about it. Think about all the people that you went to high school with or college with that voted for them. And they're all like, oh my God, now my daughter finally can look up to a woman in politics. And this is the thing. And this is now what they get. And they're paying way more for everything. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to admit it. They don't want to admit they put you in misery. So now they're just quiet about politics. They just don't say anything. Really? Where are you at now? Are you clutching your pearls now, talking about like what a great thing it's going to be for Kamala to be in office as a great role model for your daughter because she sucks? I mean, seriously, they're quiet. And so those are the people who are listening to this and watching it and going, oh, I guess it is great. It's great. It's great.
Everything's great.
It's not great. Nothing's great. It's not great.
And if you just have your eyes open, like even if they're like as open as Biden opens his eyes, which is like just barely a squint. Like you can see the numbers on your actual energy bills. I mean, there's no hiding from that. Like there's no, they are what they are. And we all know they're astronomically higher. And if you need a reminder about why, then just look at yesterday's video. Yesterday, we played a clip from Vivek Ramaswamy explaining exactly what Biden has done to increase energy prices. It's not a worldwide thing. It is him specifically and US specifically. Yes, energy costs are higher in Europe because of the war. Here, they are higher for a very specific reason, which Vivek explains very, very well. So if you missed that yesterday, watch yesterday's video, or I'm actually going to repost it on our website today. So make sure to check that out. The other reason that I was in a rage yesterday, which carries over to today, is that yesterday, and I did a post about this at chicksontheright.com. Yesterday, I posted a clip of Andrea Mitchell asking Kamala a question about Ron DeSantis's banning or not banning, but basically sending a curriculum back, an AP African-American history book back to the college board and saying, you need to rewrite this because we're not going to have this in schools where you're talking about queer freaking theory and critical race theory in high school. And so we all know the reasons that he did it. We've talked about that at length. Andrea Mitchell posed a question to Kamala Harris about this and literally defamed Ron DeSantis, flat out lied about him. And it was so bad, so egregious to me that I was like on a rampage yesterday on Twitter. I went and I tagged him. I tagged Christina Pushaw. I was like, how are you guys? How are you not suing her? This is clear cut defamation. She is making up things that he said that he never said. How does this stand? And Christina actually wrote back and she was like, you would not believe how hard it is to have an actual case of defamation of a journalist against a politician. It's like almost impossible. And I was like, but this is crazy. Well, she kind of wrote back when in her response, she kind of implied that they were taking care of it. So what you're about to see is the original clip, okay, of Andrea Mitchell lying about what he said. And then you're going to see Andrea Mitchell, what would you say? She's not apologizing.
She's doing what liberals do is they'll say like, it's just like the Don Lemon thing. It was an artful or it's not an apology.
It's not an apology.
It's the way that liberals apologize, which is like a non-apology and you'll see it. It's bull crap. And then also it's kind of like what, you know, you say it's the toothpaste is out of the tube. People aren't going to pay attention to it. So what they're going to see is the defamation, which is what she said in the first place. And they're never going to listen to the non-apology ever.
Right. And especially because the non-apology, I mean, it was like at the very end of a show, it was like an afterthought. It was a PS.
This is what they always do. And they slip it in. They slip it in past the goalie. No one ever really sees it. No one hears it. No one cares. They just see what she said originally, which is the defamation part.
Gosh. So you're going to see both of those clips. All right. The original and then her non-apology apology. Right. Here it is.
Let me ask you, what does Governor Ron DeSantis not know about Black history and the Black experience when he says that slavery and the aftermath of slavery should not be taught to Florida school children?
I don't know.
First of all, we got to pause for just a second. Imagine being a journalist and asking someone, what does a whole other person not know about something?
Right.
What kind of insane question is that?
She might as well have just said, why is he a huge freaking racist? Right. Why is he that, Kamala? Why is he a horrible freaking racist? That's my question. Go.
Oh, my God. I just.
Like what kind of a question was that? God, these people are just there. I want a divorce. Anyways.
All right. So, you know, there was backlash. Of course, everybody was freaking out, me included. Mm-hmm. And so then yesterday, then came this part.
What he knows and what.
And a postscript. In my interview last Friday with Vice President Harris, I was imprecise in summarizing Governor DeSantis' position about teaching slavery in schools. Governor DeSantis is not opposed to teaching the fact of slavery in schools, but he has opposed the teaching of an African-American studies curriculum, as well as the use of some authors and source materials that historians and teachers say makes it all but impossible for students to understand the broader historic and political context behind slavery and its aftermath in the years since.
It's a lie. She's lying again in her freaking her apology. Whatever.
I was imprecise. I don't really want to apologize. I don't want to apologize. And really, he still sucks, you guys.
Right.
He still sucks. He's still a racist. Really. He's still a racist.
Even if he didn't say what I said he said, he still sucks really hard. And
he actually still said it. He really still said it, but I'm having to apologize, but he really still said it and I'm out. Bye. Gosh, it's at the end of the show. I just, these people, God, these people.
This is why I'm so rich today.
I was imprecise when I called you a giant a-hole. I was imprecise. You're actually just a small a-hole, just a tiny little a-hole. Just tiny. Just cannot.
Oh my God. Okay.
I know, right? Serenity now. Just take a deep breath, everybody. Just take a deep, deep breath. Is there a divorce lawyer out there who will help with all of this? I need somebody who specializes in country divorce. I mean, seriously, there's got to be somebody who specializes in that.
It's not going to happen, you guys.
No?
Divorce is not going to happen.
Okay. I really need somebody that can help me with that. We can do a group, like a source of GoFundMe, and we can like help. There has to be a lawyer that specializes in that. There's a lawyer for everything.
There's not. It's not. not to anger everybody even more, but there's more stuff to be angry about. And so we've talked a lot. In fact, we showed a TikTok of that hilarious woman who had appendicitis and she was like misdiagnosed with ovarian cysts, even though she doesn't have ovaries. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And we've lamented when we played that. And at many, many different times, we've talked about our worry about the quality of medical care going down the tubes and how the people that are in medical school currently are getting a whole different kind of education, a much worse one, because it's so focused on identity politics now instead of actual healthcare, that it's terrifying. It's terrifying to be aging in this country. It's just terrifying. Medical care is terrifying.
Don't get sick.
Do not get sick if you can help it. So yesterday I saw this clip on CNN of these two reporters who were so worried about the fact that there's not racial equity in medicine. And they show some stats. They leave out some stats. I mean, they show them, but they don't talk about them. And what they are talking about is so patently stupid on every level. It's not a concern. I would love to know if any of you have ever gone to the doctor and thought, man, I hope I have a white doctor, or I hope I have a black doctor, or you care at all about the doctor's skin color. No, what most people do who are normal is they go to the doctor and think, I hope I have a good doctor, right?
Yeah. Well, these days, I actually hope I have an old doctor.
An old doctor. Yeah.
That's what I hope. I'd be honest about that, because I'm so sick of all this crap that I just want somebody who was born like either around the time I was or, you know, like before me.
Yes.
Because exactly. I can't deal anymore. Yeah. It's
gotten so stupid. And now, you guys, when you see this clip, you're going to realize it's only going to get worse, because as the focus becomes racial equity in medicine, they are going to do that whole soft bigotry of low expectations thing again. And they're going to dumb down the requirements that it takes to be in med school or to graduate from med school in order to somehow make it an equal playing field, because they think that the reason that there aren't enough black doctors is because somehow we're making it too hard for there to be black doctors. No, maybe there's just people that have different interests, right? And so there's a whole host of reasons that perhaps black people are not choosing the medical profession as often as white people or Asian people. But they don't care about the fact that there's an overrepresentation of Asian doctors. They don't even mention it. Look at this. Right.
Now, fewer than 6% of doctors in the U.S. identify as black or African American. That's despite the fact that the community makes up 12% of the country's total population, and that's raising concerns about the impact on public health.
CNN Health reporter Jacqueline Hauer joins us now. So, Jacqueline, what is being done to rectify this?
That's the thing, Bianna. More needs to be done to make sure that our physician workforce here in the U.S. reflects the diversity seen among patients. Now, what has been done so far? We've seen more efforts to get STEM programs in grade schools. At the medical school level, we've seen more mentorship programs, particularly for students of color. But when you look at the physician workforce right now, active doctors at this moment, we're still seeing 5.7% are black or African American. And that's compared with, as Victor said, 12% of of the U.S. population. When you look at Native Americans, less than 1% of doctors are Native American, and that's compared with up to 2% of patients. When you look at Hispanic or Latino physicians, 6.9% are doctors, compared with up to 18% of the U.S. population. So those differences are what's concerning here, and experts say we need to do more to make sure.
I'm not concerned about this at all. I love how she's like Spanish, Latino. Why do people do that? Why do people do that when they're talking? Just stop it.
Stop it.
Stop. Okay. God.
And they didn't point out that there is only are in the U.S. Asians represent 7% of the population, right. And yet they're 20%.
They're like almost 21.
Gloss right over that. That's almost, not a problem, yeah, right? They don't even care about that.
Are they going to start kicking them out of the profession to make it even, to make it look like what the country looks like? Because they're 20.6%. So are we going to address that? Are we going to address it? Because there's a whole lot of Asian people running around in the medical field. What is
and
that?
So what do they think is the right thing to do to make this different?
Yeah.
That's when they're going to start dumbing down the standards.
They already are, Mock. They're already dumbing down the standards. They're already doing it. If that's one of the reasons I look for old people when I walk in, when I'm going and I'm finding a new doctor and I'm like, oh, you're 30. I'm out of here. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Because you've been taught diversity and inclusion and gender pronouns and not how to take care of me. I've already had interactions with doctors here in Texas where I'm just like, I'm out. I can't deal. Like, you suck. There's a distinct difference. Not everybody. I've had some decent doctors, but a lot of these doctors are just crap. They're crap. I mean, I'm to the point now where I'm just like, I'm done. I'm just going to take my vitamins and I'm out. I'm doing all my greens and my vitamins. And I'm out.
Your healthy cell.
I'm out. Cause I'm just so disillusioned with the state of medicine right now. Being honest, I mean, that's because they are focusing. We've shown you guys videos. We've shown you the videos of like their oath, their new oaths that they're professing out loud that have all this diversity and inclusion bullcrap in it when it has nothing to do with health. That's insanity.
It's absolutely madness what's happening. And it's not, you know, healthcare is obviously a huge concern because we all need it, but it's happening across industries, except when it's not convenient. So for example, why aren't there more white basketball players? What's being done to rectify the racial inequity in the NBA? Mm-hmm. I mean, why do people give a shit about this? It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And it's happening in the airline industry too. That freaks me out. This whole diversity inclusion thing. People are going to die. I'm freaked out about that because I have to fly. Doesn't that scare you?
Oh my God,
it
terrifies me. If they don't look like Captain Sully, I don't want them.
Right. I don't care what your color is. I don't care about diversity inclusion when it comes to flying a plane. You better darn well know how to fly that plane. I mean, I want to make sure that me and my family are safe on that plane. This is unbelievable what we're going through in this country and in the world when it comes to all this diversity, inclusion crap. It's like, are you the right color? I don't care.
It's getting worse and worse. It's just getting worse and worse. And I don't know how to turn this around. I mean, that's what's so frustrating is that, you know, we can show clips like this. You guys all get it. But like other people are watching that going, yeah, we really need to do something about that. So people feel better about seeing a person of their own skin color when they go to the doctor. No one gives a shit. They just want good doctors.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We're up against people who truly believe things like a trans woman is a woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what they're probably being taught now in medical school.
I mean, this is the thing. We're up against those people who actually believe that in their brain, this is what they think. It's hard to dispute that with people who are, dare I say, crazy. That's crazy talk.
It's crazy talk. Yeah. All right. Let's lighten things up if we could and talk about your whack. This is, I don't know how to feel about this.
Yeah, okay. Now you bring it up because I totally forgot. What is my whack again? What is it? It's been, this guy has the longest tongue in the whole world. He's the Guinness Book of World Records holder. They call him, is it Licasso? They call him Licasso.
Because he paints with it.
Well, he had to figure out something to do. He's also a comedian. Nick Strobert, I think is his name. Is that his name?
Stroberl
is his name. Yeah. So he had to figure out something to do with it. It took him 6 hours and he painted a picture of a beaver with this tongue. What? I don't see what. So anyway, so he
I didn't know that part.
And his and they're only going for like I think his paintings are only going for like $1,200, which I'm like, you know what? If Hunter Biden can sell a picture for the amount of money that he sells a picture for, I feel like this guy's I mean he's it takes him like 6 hours with his tongue. He's apparently he picked up this gift of painting with his tongue from some dude. He saw some dude in India do it with this long tongue.
Oh
and,
God.
You know, of course, people are like, can he not find something better to do with his tongue? Like, he cannot find a better gift to, you know.
Well, I don't. Anyways, we don't know.
But look at that tongue, though. Isn't that crazy?
That it's I don't. So, pretty like, crazy. How would that measure up against what's his name from Kiss? Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons. Oh, yeah. Gene Simmons doesn't have. I mean, it's his, Gene Simmons is big, but I don't think it's this big. Guy is like, yeah, there was a woman, too. I saw a woman that had a gigantic. I mean, she was up in the running with him as having one of the longest tongues ever.
Wow.
Like one of the biggest, but yeah. So
that is,
he's Picasso, you guys.
That is that's a gift or whatever. Mm-hmm. That is
the gift that keeps on giving.
That is something.
Right there. We're going to bring it in, you guys. So we're going to bring it in and then I'm going to do some gifts because I actually remember.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You remembered. Oh my gosh. Cause I forgot.
Look at me. Look at me remembering. I'm going to yawn. Everybody yawn. Bring it in. Okay.
Did I say the thing about the tailgate? Oh my gosh. Did I say? No. Can I just say that really fast?
Yes. Do it right now.
Okay. You guys, our tailgate on Friday, April 28th in Phoenix, Arizona is full unless you are Donna Jones. If you are Donna Jones, you're going to squeak in if you RSVP.
Mm-hmm. Donna Jones.
But other than that, we are officially full. Don't worry if you haven't gotten the information about being confirmed for the tailgate. You're going to get it. I haven't sent it yet. So if you've RSVP'd, please assume that I have your RSVP and that you'll be getting another email tomorrow with the details. It's going to be from 3 to 6, but you'll get the details about where to show up tomorrow. Okay. So you don't have to send me a reminder email. I promise I have you down and you're going to get that confirmation. Now, if you don't get the confirmation by say Saturday night or whenever, then you can reach out. But other than that, you should get that confirmation tomorrow. Okay. Okay. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so Renee got me a Sonic gift card, which I'm super excited about. You guys know I love my Tots. I use these all the time. I am like a Tot girl. So thank you. Very, very sweet. And then I got this beautiful picture from Robin Olmsted. Look at this. I mean, is that not great?
Yeah,
she drew that for me.
So talented.
How do you do that? She got me that. And then she got me these earrings. I almost wore them this morning, but I wanted to thank her before I wore them. These are so me. Look at these hoops.
They're leopard. Oh my gosh. Those are awesome.
Can you stand it? Can you even stand it? I'm going to wear them. Like, I'll probably wear them tomorrow because I'm all over these hoops.
That's who sent me my Valentine's. She sent me my Valentine's earrings. Yeah.
And then I got some cards from people. I got some cards from Lynn and I got some other cards, you guys. I got this shirt. I'm going to make sure I got this right. I think that this is right. I believe this. Yes. Is this from Susan from Schenectady? Got me this shirt. Look at this shirt, you guys.
Oh my gosh. I like big butts and I can't
imagine. Is that not the cutest? So I got that. Thank you so much. And then of course, Jean just goes way overboard.
Out of control.
I can't even show you all the stuff that she got us because hey, it's us because she got like stuff for Gwen too. My daughter, Gwen. And just like a big box of Valentine's stuff. It's all out there, chocolates and goodies. And just, I mean, she spoils us. She just spoils us like on
Impossible
every holiday.
Jean.
So thank you to Jean. And then I don't think am I forgetting anything? I don't think I'm forgetting anything right now. I think that's it for right now. So yeah, that's it. Thank you guys so much.
These are the people that are in our insiders and supporters groups. And if you are not on local supporters or Facebook insiders, you are just missing out on the best people. I don't know how to say it any better. They're freaking amazing.
The absolute best. Thank you guys so much. Mwah, mwah, mwah. And Cash is too lazy to get. He's too sitting over there. You can see him laying. He's too lazy. He's not going to get up
today.
Lazy
today. All right.
Okay. Butthead. He's such a butthead today.
Definitely will get flaps tomorrow ahead of the weekend.
You'll get flaps tomorrow. You guys have a wonderful Thursday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.